And this one, I've never done it. You may have heard it before, but I've never done it. But I feel burdened to do it. You know, there are valleys in our lives. And I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you're in one of three places in your life. And I won't preach, I promise. But you're either on the mountain, but beware because the valley's coming. Or you're in the middle of the valley. Or you've just climbed up the other side of the mountain and you're looking back on the valley. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm in a valley. Brianna tried to get my attention before we started praying. And she said, tell him Daddy needs a job. Daddy needs a job. God's got us in a valley. He's teaching us. And we're not sure. We thought we learned the lesson. But he's still teaching. But I would ask that you would pray for our family. Pray for my husband. That God would put us where he wants us to be used of him. That's our desire. That's our heart, is to be used of him. So put us where he wants us and protect our family. That's, I've told the kids, God has never let our needs go unmet, you know? And I'm sure some of you have been there. At the end of the month when the bills are piling up and you don't think there's any way that they can be paid, but I promise you, if you'll give God first, it'll be there. I've been amazed at how the checks are there. And I've said throughout it all, he's protected us and kept our family together, and that's the most important thing. But someday, I have hope, I know, that we will get through this valley, and I'll be able to stand on the mountain and look back, and at that time, I'll be able to see what it was that he was teaching me. And my precious Sherry, I love you. And my heart is burdened for you right now. And part of this is for you and any of you that may be in that valley. Hold on to the shepherd. Hold on to him. He'll bring you through. And then you'll be able to look back in the valley from the mountaintop.
I knew that one day you
brought you safely through. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I don't know the second verse.
Young fellow that I grew up with, me and him, if there's any meanness to be found for us to get in, we usually got in it some way. Yeah. Cliff would always say to me, he'd say, "Jesse, I'm glad that we got a God who looks beyond our faults." Yep. And every time I hear that song, because that was his favorite song, Cliff was always messing up. I messed up sometimes, but I mean, Cliff would do it every day. He's always messing up. And he'd always talk about his faults and how many faults he had. And he'd always say, "I'm glad the Lord looks beyond my faults." I don't know whether me and you get through this sermon today or not. Bert and them, Aaron, they'll help me much as they can. We're going to look at the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. Now, you say, "I didn't bring my Bible." Get your Bible right there in the pew in front of you. Something. And I kept going over this and over this week and trying to figure out, well, where do you start and where do you stop? And then I thought, I don't know. So I'm going to start the first and stop whenever men you get ready to go home. What I wanted to preach on was verse 35. You all know that one. The shortest verse in the Bible. That's what I'm going to preach on. Jesus wept. And we'll get down to it. I don't know whether I get to preach on it or not, but we'll get down to it. This is John when he was writing this sermon, he put down a lot of miracles that helped to point out that Jesus was God. This one here in the 11th chapter is the last one that John points out. And it's raising Lazarus from the dead. All of you know that story, but we need to kind of look at it again today. All the miracles Jesus did in John's sermon just led up to this, and this was the ultimate See, when you raise the dead, that's the ultimate miracle that can be done. So John was showing you Jesus is God. He really is God. Now, when he starts chapter 12, John will start off showing how Jesus is going to go make the sacrifice so that you can be saved. When you read these sermons in the Bible, you've got to see what they're trying to say to you. They come all the way through the chapter 11 showing you, I want you to know all these miracles Jesus did, and he picked him out seven of them, seven being kind of a perfect number. Then he starts chapter 12 and he says, now I want to show you what Jesus did in order that you might be saved. And so from chapter 12 on, he goes on and shows you that he was God. Now, it's men, you see if we can get... You don't think you're going to get to verse 35, do you? But anyway, we'll start with verse 1. Bible won't hurt you no matter where we're reading it at. It probably won't hurt you. So read there with us, will you? Now, there was a certain man sick, Lazarus of Bethany. It's interesting that the word Lazarus means God is my help. See, Lazarus, in this story, Lazarus got to the place where nobody could help him but God. See, when you get dead, I back off. See, if you was to fall over right now here in the pew, we'd say, get him out of here. Quick. Call somebody, get him out of here. See, we can't do nothing but dead people. That's why we can't do nothing but some of you church people. I made somebody else mad. See, this lady back here, bless her heart, she said, I'm mad at you. I'm just mad at you. She said, I was this lady's sister, and you thought I was her mother. And I thought, if that... And I told her, I said, these people here, and Donna helped me, didn't you? Donna said, we half the time we stay mad at him all the time anyway. He said, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. But what John's showing you when he tells you this story, Lazarus got to the place. Nobody could help him but God. See, he died. Nobody could help him but God. Because God's the only one who can give life. And so we read the story. Now, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 3. The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. You read again here in a minute, but I want you to see this when they send the message to Jesus and say, he whom thou lovest. These words in the Bible are very significant when you really know what they're saying. Now, if I quote this, God so loved the world, that means he loved the whole world. The word love there means he counted it precious. You say, if God loved us, would he let anybody go to hell? He has been doing that for years, 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 even though he loved the world. But the word love means he counted precious. The word love here, when they sent to him and said, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. The word love here means that Jesus counted them very special. When Jesus would come to Bethany, he would go to Lazarus and Martha's, Mary's house, and sit and eat. Mary, don't take this wrong now, okay? I know some of you will. There ain't no need of me telling you, but I mean, I'll tell you anyway, and you can take it wrong, and I'll say, I told you not to take it wrong. I think Mary really had a special love for Jesus. Mary had some precious ointment one time, chapter 12, and she poured it on Jesus' head. Now, I don't mean that Mary loved Jesus in a bad way, but I mean that Mary really loved Jesus. When he would come to eat with them, Martha would be cooking, and Mary would be sitting at his feet listening to him talk. When she anointed his feet and stuff, she wiped his feet with her hair. She really loved Jesus. Martha was a good cook like Wanda. And so when Jesus would come visit with them, she'd always fix up her meal. Would you have liked to have cooked one for him? That must have been wonderful. Lazarus got sick, and they sent word to Jesus. He's about 30 miles away. Sent word to Jesus, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, the word love here don't mean just affection. Let me get it behind. There's two words that has in it the implication that's in this story. The word has in it affection. Now, there are people, and this is why some marriages don't work. All the love that's in the marriage is just simply affection. And it can go and come. I mean, some days I like Bernie, and some days I think, I believe I'll kill her today. Now, that's what you call affection. See, that's the way affection love goes. Mary and Martha said, we have great affection for you, Lord. Listen to Jesus talking to Peter. He asked him three times. Remember in the story in the last part of John, he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? You remember that? You remember that story in the Bible? Do you love me? He asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Now each time Peter come back and said, Lord, you know I like you very much. He never would use the word love that Jesus was using. He used the other word for love, which means I like you. Now I'm afraid that there are many Christians who just have an affection for Jesus because of what they have heard about him. See, I say to Christians sometimes, just I don't know this dear lady here. She comes to church, listens to me preach. She thinks I'm a good preacher. I love her. I have just an affectionate type love, and I don't want to feed her the rest of her life. I don't want to marry her. People who get married sometimes. I married a couple of weeks ago. Well, it was a couple of weeks. Anyway, it wasn't long ago. And when we sat down to have counsel, I said to this boy, you know, I said, why do you want to marry this girl? She don't look so hot to me. And he said, I said, have you ever told her why you want to marry her? Well, he said, I love her, Brother Jesse. I said, I love my mother, but I don't want to marry her. He said, well, we got married out of love. Now, in the Bible, here, the Bible, they said, one whom you have great affection for, Lord. Now, the next line John's going to say is that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, when John uses the word, when Mary and Martha are talking about the word love, they're talking about affection. You got affection for him. Now, when Jesus uses the word, and here's what's very important, Jesus, when he loves you in a special way, like he did these people, it means I love you for the benefit that you bring to my life. See this girl right here? Stand up. I use her for sermons all the time. Bless her. See this girl right here? There was a time when we were two, and Jesus sent her my way and made us into one. See? Now, it's not just an affection. She is important to my life. I mean, she is important to my life. Now, Jesus said, that's the way that you should love people. That's the way Jesus loved people. He says, I want you, you are important to me in my life. Now, that means if you make a mistake, I love you anyway. You say, if you don't act the way I want you to act, I won't like you no more. That kind of love ain't worth hogwash. See, you need to, they're going to act when they're not supposed to and so forth. See, you need to love people from an intelligent standpoint the way Jesus loved people. See, that's the way he loved people. He didn't just wishy-washy here and there and so forth. See, all right, here we go. And in verse 3, they said, Lord, the one whom you love, he is sick. Sick. The word sick here means he is very weak and he is quickly sinking away. That's what the word sick means here. Verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness not unto death. What he means is this. It will not remain unto death. It was under death right then when they were talking to him, because in a minute he's going to say he's already dead. But Jesus makes an astonishing statement here. And here's what it means when he uses the word death. This sickness is not unto death, which means death will not keep this person who is sick and take them to corruption, because I intend to interrupt it. He don't say all that, but that's the ideal in the word when he uses the word dead. Dead means you're under control. See, death roaming around here in this building now. Looking at you. It's on your trail. It's on your trail. And it says, which one am I going to get next? Which one? Oh, you say, brother, yes, he ain't never going to get me. Yes, he is. If Jesus don't come and take us all to heaven, he'll get you. He'll get you. I'm glad for this story. Jesus said, all the death's come and got Lazarus. But I'm not going to let him remain under it. And he's not going to go into corruption. I'm going to go there and break this deal up. See, now, it's a marvelous story. It is a wonderful story. It's wonderful. So, read on. Now, verse 5. Now, here's where I'm talking about. See, it said Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Here's what's in the ideal of the word love here. It means this. They were entitled to his love because of what they meant to him. See, it wasn't just an affection. It's like, I think you're beautiful, or I think you're intelligent, or I think you got a lot of money, or I think you're so, I love you. And you think, I believe you're loving for the wrong reason. Now, Jesus loved them because they were entitled to the love which come from him because of what they did for him. Now, I don't know whether you ever pray this way or not, but if I can help you, I'd be glad to help you. See, I pray day after day after day, Lord, help me to love you because of what you mean to me. Help me love you the way that you love me. You say, Brother Jesse, I love Jesus. Would you give your life for him?
He gave His for you. See, do you love Him? You say, well, now I don't mind. As long as you don't preach past 12 o'clock, I don't mind this church business. It's amazing to watch us sometimes and how much we love worshiping Him and being in His presence and so forth. You say, He don't pay no attention to that. Yes, He does. See, it's he's like little old Isabel. Only one word she's ever said yet that I've ever understood to mount to anything. She says, Papa. She don't know nothing else. See, but when I come up, she's got that little wobble. Papa, Papa, Papa. Now, see, you said, Jesse, you quit preaching now. No, I'm making a point to you. See, I love her because of what she means to me. Not because what she said to me, what she's done for me, or anything. What she means to me. Does Jesus really mean anything to you? How would you like to live in a community that didn't have a church like this? You got up next Sunday, and there wasn't no church nowhere for you to go to. Didn't have no preacher, didn't have no choir, didn't have no Bibles. How would you like to live in a place where you didn't have none of that? You couldn't sit here and say, boy, we're listening to good singing, good preaching. How'd you like to live where you didn't have that? I wouldn't want to be there, would you? Do you know what Jesus means to me and you? See, if it weren't for Jesus, we couldn't have this experience we're having here today. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, anyway, let me skip along. They come to Jesus and they say, the one whom you love, he's dead. Jesus said, no, he's asleep. And I'm going to go wake him up. Now, you can kind of read it down through, read the story. He's asleep. I'm going to go wake him up. And they said, Lord, if he's asleep. Now, what they meant was this. See, when somebody's sick, if they're sleeping good, that means they're in recovery. You know, if they're sleeping good, they ain't hurting and so forth, and that means, well, they're probably feeling better. Yeah, they're getting better. They're sleeping good now. See, they said, well, Lord, if he's sleeping good, then he's probably been recovering. He said, no, what I mean is he is dead. And so they said, all right, and we're going to go. Now, verse 15, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. That's an interesting line right there, because what John's point is this. Anytime Jesus was around, nobody could die. So Jesus said, it's a good thing I wasn't there, because if I had been there, he could not have died. Jesus, every time he'd be around, he went to visit this fellow, and his daughter was a corpse laying upstairs. And Jesus walked in the room and he said, young lady, I say unto you, arise. She just sat up. That's amazing. He gave her to her father. He's walking down the road one day. A little old widow woman, only had one kid, and they was carrying him in a casket. Jesus walking down the road, and he walked up and said, hey, hold it just a minute. And he walked up to the casket, and he said, I say unto you, young man, arise. Good to have Jesus around. It's good. It's amazing when you read them stories. Jesus said, it's good that I wasn't there. Why? Because he wouldn't have died if I'd been there. Nobody dies where Jesus is. He says, good that I wasn't there. And, let me get on. Okay. When he got there, Martha went out to meet him, all right? I'll just kind of tell you the story. Martha went out to meet him. She said, Lord,
if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, your brother will live again. He'll rise again. She said, I know, Lord, he will. Resurrection. Now, I want you to know, I could have preached a whole sermon on this one line where Jesus said this. Now, listen to what Jesus said. Now, she said to him, Lord, if you ask anything, I know that God hears you when you pray. But now she's got the wrong verbs in there. And John made a point of the fact she had the wrong word. See, when men you pray, there's words in the Bible for praying. When men you pray, we don't dare go and stand up face to face with God and say, God, I've come to talk to you face to face. No, you don't do that. You see, when men you talk to God, we kneel down in a worshipful way. Now, when Jesus talked to God, he talked to God face to face. Now, when Martha said to Jesus, Lord, I know that whatever you ask, he will have. And the word ask here means an inferior talking to a superior. And Jesus said, he didn't reprimand her, but he just accepted it. He said, well, you kind of got that wrong. Because I'm not an inferior. I'm on the same level with God. Now listen to what he says. I don't have to ask God to raise somebody from the dead. In fact, he said, I don't go around just raising people from the dead. Now listen to what he said. I am the resurrection. You look at it. I don't have to ask God. I don't have to ask nothing. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection means a body which stands up. You got to have a body. You got to be dead. And then it's got to stand up. Resurrection means I am the one. And when he died on the cross, you remember what the Bible is talking about. One of the writers in the Bible, when he died on the cross, graves opened up. People got up, went into the cities, and everything else. There's so much power when Jesus died on that cross. It just, right down in Jerusalem, they had this big temple and they had this real thick curtain that divided the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And when Jesus died, the Bible says there's so much power going on around there that it just turned dark everywhere. The graves opened up and this big curtain just ripped from top to the bottom and just opened up the holy place there. When Jesus died on that cross, he opened up everything. He stood at John in the book of Revelation. He said, John, I got the keys. I went and got the keys. I got the keys to death. I got the keys to hell. I got the keys to the grave. You don't have to worry about nothing. I am the resurrection. Man, he's a great God. He is a great God. And he says to Martha, you're looking at the resurrection. I don't have to ask nothing. Raise him from the dead. Where is he? Well, there's one point I wanted to make somewhere here, but I don't know where it is. Yeah, I'm going to get down to it and get to it somewhere. Anyway, here's what's in the story. It's down in there somewhere. Y'all can find it. But I wanted to make this point. Jesus said, show me where you laid him. Now, I want you to get a couple of little points out of it for a sermon, okay? He said, show me where you laid him. Martha run in the house. And she said, Mary, won't you come? The teacher's come, and he wants to go where Lazarus is laid. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, I really don't know why you'd want to go out there, because this is the fourth day. Now, here's what the rabbis taught the Jewish people, and they still will contend this even today. The first 3 days after a person dies, see, we call it a wake last time. We have a wake. We sit with them. after they die for a wake. Now, a lot of us have gotten to the place where we don't have any real respect for people that die and so forth. We want to get rid of them quick as we can. But in Jesus' day, they had 3 days they call weeping days. Martha said to him, "Lord, he's been dead 4 days," which the fourth day means putrefaction, rotten and stinking odors have started coming now. "By now, Lord, he stinketh." Now, here's what the rabbis taught him, the reason she was saying these words to him. The spirit, when the person dies, the spirit will stay around the individual for 3 days. When the person starts rotting, the spirit gives up and leaves and goes to Sheol or Hades. The spirit being the person, they leave. The 3 days, the weeping days. On the fourth day, the spirit leaves and goes away, and there's no chance of raising them from the dead. Y'all getting the picture that that's what they believed and had in their mind. She said, "Lord, this is the fourth day. Now, if you'd have gotten here in the first 3 days, maybe the spirit would still be around here and we could have done something. See, we could have helped. But this is the fourth day, and the spirit does not stay after the third day." That's the way they believed it. But now he is starting to decay. Now, the Bible says when Mary came out, and I want you to, you've got to get this picture now. When Mary came out where Jesus was, she fell down at his feet, and she began to weep. See the word weep? It means to wail. She began to go, "Oh!" You've heard them. "Oh!" The word used for weep here means Mary began to wail. Now, verse 35, which is the sermon I want to read to you. Jesus wept when he looked and saw Mary weeping. Jesus wept. Now, Jesus did not wail. The word for weep here means that Jesus had tears start running down his face. I wanted to preach to you on this is the only time God ever cried. But he was looking at Mary, kneeling at his feet, and looking at all the hopelessness that was around him. And the Bible says Jesus wept. It means that tears run down his face and that he wept silently. Did you ever see men do that? Now, Mary, they're using the word to weep, means that she was wailing. She was crying out. Wailing. The people who were there visiting were also wailing and weeping out loud. Jesus stood, and when he looked at them, tears ran down his face, and he wept. Now listen to what the Bible says, because I want you to get this point. It says he groaned within his spirit. He groaned. I don't know whether that's verse 36 or it's in there. But anyway, I want you to get it. I get hung up if I keep going. He groaned within his spirit. Now, what it means is this. It means when Jesus looked at what death had done for Lazarus and what death was doing for this family and what death in general is doing for the whole world, that he got mad. And the word groaned means this, that he growled like a lion who has spotted his prey. That Jesus was weeping, and when he groaned, he said, "Have you ever seen men weep that way?" That's what it means. He groaned in his spirit. His spirit within Jesus was coming up saying, "Do something, do something, do something, do something." And Jesus was holding it. And then all at once, Jesus said these words, "Show me where you laid him." He saw what death was doing to this family. And he was angry like a, well, the word used for weep here means he snorted like a horse that was scared, and he groaned. And it, see the word troubled? He groaned and was troubled. Now, troubled means that he groaned within himself, and he looked at what death's doing to this family. And trouble means it started boiling up. It started boiling up. And he called out, "Show me where you laid him." And he walked out in front of that tomb and he said, "Roll back the stone." And he looked up toward heaven and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou dost always hear me when I pray." Now listen to him. And if you could read it in the literal, you could hear it in Jesus' voice. Listen to him. "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus is so upset with what the devil has done to me and you that he can hardly stand it. He is bubbling within. He is groaning under pain. Tears are running down his face. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And before anybody could even touch Lazarus, he come out of there, still in his grave clothes, and it bound around his head. The power that Jesus exerted right there moved him right out of that grave, and he is still wrapped up. Listen to Jesus. "Now loose him and let him go." See, now all these words, if you were reading them in the literal, he it is commands, almost, so to speak. It is like commands. I'm not requesting. I want it now. I love these people in a very special way, and I want it now. You say, "Brother Jesse, you think he'll raise us from the dead?" Yes, I do. You say, "Why do you think he does?" Because he loves us like he did Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loves us. He loves us. And it's an intelligent love. We mean something to him. I don't know about you. I remember my grandma patting me on the head. Said, "You're such a good boy." Now that meant a lot to me. That probably didn't mean that much to grandma. When I was baptized, 13 years old, out there in the creek, old preacher Peters, I could close my eyes and see him doing it now. I had a little old t-shirt on, pair of overhaul breeches. I could close my eyes and see him now. 60-some years ago, I hear him saying, "I baptize this, our brother." And up on the bank was a little old gray-haired, slender woman. And I can close my eyes and hear her now. And her little old hands went like this. I didn't look up, but I knew who it was. Bless that little fellow's heart. Bless that little fellow's heart. I think Grandma really loved me. You said, "Yes, she loved other people." Yeah, but she loved her grandkids kind of special. Okay? Now you say, "Jesse, don't belittle Jesus." I'm not. Jesus loves the whole world. But he loves you and me kind of special. Because he saved us by his grace. And we're important to him. And he fixed it so that we don't have to stay in the grave. He's going to take us all to heaven one day. And we're going to get to live with him. He does that because he loves us. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also." I believe that with all my heart. I believe he's coming back to get us and take us to be with him. And this story here, when he looked at Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he said, "I love you all. I love you. And I'm not going to let death do this to you." Wonderful, wonderful story.
I didn't get to my sermon, but I don't care. You said, yes, I didn't like that sermon too much. I don't care for that either. I enjoyed it. I just think these stories about Jesus in the Bible and how wonderful and marvelous it is. You say, Jesse, does Jesus love me? Yeah. And if you're not special to him today, you can become special to him if you come and trust him as your Savior. See, those who come and trust him. Now listen, when people get saved, the Bible uses words like this. You're adopted. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You get an inheritance coming to you. See, the Bible uses words like that. When you get saved, adopted means this. It don't mean, well, you got into the family. You get born into the family. You get born again, get into the family. Adopted means this. God signs the papers. I'm saying this because you can see what I'm talking about. He don't literally sign the papers, but anyway. God signs the papers that says, everything I have belongs to this boy. Everything I have belongs to this little girl right here. Everything. Anything I got she needs, she can have it. That's what adoption means. You're in the family. Adoption means you have legally stepped into a position where everything. Listen to Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I've got access to it all. I told you the story about the old man. I'll tell it on a Methodist. I don't know whether there's any here or not. But anyway. The old Methodist boy walking through heaven. And he's looking at all these different things. The angels were telling him, this is this, and this is this, and this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so, and so-and-so. And he went and they looked in this building. Here was all kinds of treasures and all kinds of stuff. And he said, man, what's this for? He said, this was yours, but we never could get you to use it. Do you know how rich you are? When this little girl stood up here and said, the Lord, we're in the Lord's hand. You believe you can be in any better hands? You can't be in no better. Do you believe he can get people a job? Why, sure. He made them all. Even if Obama don't want you to work, he can still, God can still give you one. See, you don't pay much attention to what me and you going around doing all this talking. These politicians, we're going to take care of you. No, God's taking care of me and you. We don't care about they're not the ones who ultimately going to try to take care of us. I ain't got confidence in nobody like I have God. He's there. He'll take care of us. Now, if you're not in his family today, you ought to come, trust him, get in his family, leave here happy, rejoicing in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. So wonderful, so wonderful. To know that you're our Savior, you're our elder brother, and that you love us and care for us. And Lord, when you did things in the Bible for people that you loved, I know that you were trying to say to us, I'm showing you I love you just as much as I love them. And we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to be real important to you and to what you're trying to do. Lord, if there's one here today, man or woman, boy or girl, who's never been saved, who's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that today they may get up and come and say, I want to come today and trust Jesus as my Savior. Help them to do that, Lord. Give us victory, for we give the praise to Jesus, for we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. We're singing 298. We're going to stand together and sing 298. You need to come, you come while we sing. my Savior and my God. Standing with them.